You ready? Okay, so we're picking up from what seems like a long time ago when we left off. It's been 2 weeks, I think, though. Okay. So let's pick up over here in the bottom of Daled Amud Beis. Yeah, we started. We started it a little bit, but we all need to refresh our memory here, refresh our recollection. Tamar Rabbanan. Got it? Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha. Vim Hoya Mumcha L'Rabim Don Afilu Yechidi. Okay. So what does that mean? So, Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha. That's the Mishnah, and that's what we've been doing up till now. Right? But if he's a Mumcha L'Rabim, which is a new term that we haven't had before, then he's Don Afilu Yechidi. Right, we've had mumchen before, but the mumchen that we've been talking about up till now meant what? Smicha, right? They were smuchen, like Rashid, smuchen v'natlu rishus minasi. But over here, when we say v'imayim mumchel rabim don afilu yechidi, so I think we mentioned it last time we did the Gemara that I think it's Rav Haigon. Says that what does it mean to be a mumch over here? It means someone who is a who's universally recognized as an expert. He knows the halachos. He's a baki in the halachos, and he's a baki in shikul hadas. Meaning to say, he has the knowledge. He has the particular facts. He has all the facts. He has the good ability to weigh things in his mind. Good reasoning, and he has experience. He was tested that he was never that he's always right, or as right as anyone can be, right? And that's the lashon mumcha. Mumcha means they say from the Gemara on Shabbos. It says you can take on Shabbos and a kamiya that's a mumcha, means tested. Okay, so now we have this new rule here, that although we say dini mamis b'shlosha, if the person is a mumcha l'rabim, meaning an expert. You know, like Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, if you go to him, he'd be a mumchel rabbi. Don, obviously, when he was alive. Don afilu yechidi. Amar of Nachman could go on ono. Okay, so he said that we're not going to take Rashi's pshat. We're going to learn like the other Rishonim. Right, Rashi learns that it's what? Dichsiv b'tzedek tishpot. V'kosover ain't kind of your parsha. So it's difficult. Rashi is difficult, pshat-wise. Rashi, what does that mean? What's Rashi saying? Who here, tell me what Rashi's saying.
Because there's no Eir parsha.
That's right. Now, is Rashi's learning that this Gemara is only according to the one who holds that midoraisa, you don't need three at all. Right? Like the Rush explains, that would mean that midoraisa, we did this already, now it's coming back to me, right? Midoraisa, you need one. But midorabanan, they said to take three because they're worried that, maybe not everybody, you take one, he might not know his stuff so well. So if you have three, you're more secure that someone knows what he's talking about. Right, that was the Gemara and Gimel. That, says efsha the lesbu chad de gomer, right? If you have three people already, then you're definitely gonna have one person who knows, right? So that was the takana midrabanan. Takana midrabanan was knows midraisa, even one hedjo can be dan dinin mamanus. Midrabanan, they were worried that people won't, maybe you'll get people who really don't know very much and they'll make mistakes. So midrabanan, they insisted on keeping it up to three, to ensure that there's someone who's gomer, someone who knows the halacha, knows the customs of business and things like that. So then we could say simply that even though midrabanan, they said dinei mamonos b'shlosha, that was to ensure the integrity of the process. But if the guy's a mumchel rabim, then he's not. They left him on the din deraisa. Now, as they didn't make a din that it's three, Absolutely. They made a din that we have to ensure that the process is, above doubt. I don't want people to have the doubt. They're gonna, I got the one bad guy. I got the loser. You know, so you give three, you feel more that you have security in the process. But if a guy is a world renowned expert, then there's no deficiency in having one, right? It's definitely as good as three. As three, no name Dayan. So that would be the way to learn. That's the way Rashi learns. Problem is, Rashi learns that this whole Gemara is only going if you hold that Dini Mamonis Midrash is with one. But the other Rishonim, the Rosh and the Tosos, they learn it can go either way. In other words, if you hold Dini Mamonis is really Midrash with one hedgeot, then the Gemara is simple. But even if you hold that Midrash Dini Mamonis is by three smuchin, because of Erev Parshios, so then they made two, then the takana really was twofold. Okay, one is that you can have three hedjotos, you don't need to have the three smuchin, and once we say you can have three, or one mumcha l'rav. In other words, that's the way we were trying to define it last time, if you remember. That I think it was your whose svar was that? Is that your svar, Gil? No.
I was.
That three. It was your svar, right? Yona. That three is an essential feature, right? In other words, that's the way we're trying to explain it according to the Machlokas Rashi and the Rush. Midoraisa, you have three smuchin. So there's two things. There's the number three, and then there's a quality of smuchin. Okay. The Rush says, once midrabanan, you don't require three smuchin, because openly the Gemara says all you need is three hejotos, right? So we took away the quality of smuchin that was required. Then basically we're not in the Doraisa basin anymore, and there's no difference if you go down in quality and keep the quantity, or if you go down in quantity and keep the quality. It's not exactly the quality, but means say that there's no difference between saying that we can go down from three smuchin to say you go to three hejotos or one expert. Three hejotos and one expert is the same. All right. Basically, we don't insist on the based in doraisa. And we instituted a practical means to ensure it's shlotinel delos b'fnei loven. Because you remember this shita that says midrash is three smilchin, the reason why we go down to three hejotos is practically speaking to facilitate financial transactions. Right? So there's no reason why to say, there's no reason why you should say that when they went down from three smilchin, right, abandoning the requirements of the Doraisa, there's no reason to say that they only did three hejotos as opposed to one expert. There's no difference, right? That's the way the Rush learns. That exactly itself was the takana. That you go down to you can go down to either one. Now we mentioned last time it's not that one mumcha l'rabim. Is instituted specifically to alleviate the problem of three smuchin, because one mumcha l'rabim is also not easy to come by. But it means to say once they loosen the requirement of the three smuchin midoraisa, then we're already in a different. Then there's no difference anymore. As long as if you're not doing the deraisa, you're not doing the deraisa. What's the difference if it's three hejotos or one mumcha? There's no reason why we should differentiate between the two. Right, that's what the Rush says. It says Chachamim tiknu desagi begimul hajotos o biyochad mumcha. Right, but we said according to Rashi though that they just changed three is the institution of Beis Din, and it's not that they said that we're abandoning the institution of Beis Din, but they gave a lower qualification for in terms of making up the Beis Din. As the Rush is learning that the Takana Dirabanan is you don't really need Beis Din anymore. We have a new thing. We'll call it three hejotos. It's a new thing. Once you have a new thing, then what's to stop you from having three ajotas as a new thing and one mumcha as a new thing? They're both new things. But we said the Rashi seemed to be learning that there's an idea that they should try to preserve the structure midoraisa as close as they can. So midoraisa, you have an institution of Beis Din that's made up by three, a quantity of three, and a quality of smuchin. Midrabanan, they can say, now we'll lower the requirements to sit and to constitute the Beis Din. But to go down to one would be have no resemblance to the institution itself. So it was, we were just thinking it through. Maybe that's the machlokas in Rashi and the Rush. When you see, basically, I put the machlokas like this: when you have the pure form, okay, of three smuchin, and you see that the Rabbanan institute something less. Okay, does that mean that they abandon the whole thing and they're just starting from scratch? Or do you not have a right to say that? And all you can say is they deviated from the pure to a certain degree. And if I can show you that going from three smuchin to three hajotos is less of a deviation than from going from three smuchin to one mumcha, then I have no right to imply that they did the lower. You understand? Yeah. So anyway, so that's what we're saying. We're saying, and this is what we're assuming, and you could argue with me, but we're assuming it's going from three smuchim to three hajotos still has a shame of a Beis Din. Now, you can loosen the quality easier than you can change the quantity. If you change the quantity, you can't say that we'll make one in equal to three. What are you saying? Do you say that makes sense? Well, I'm saying that what they're saying is they can say hejotos are equal to smuchin.
Right? The quality makes
but better. They can't say one is equal to three.
Why? If the quality of the one person, meaning if let's say me Gil and one other bad guy here decided right. We're going to make a Beis Din
right.
Versus, let's say, remote.
Right, so that's the question. If you had three guys judging a case or Moshe Feinstein, so you might choose to go to Moshe Feinstein. That may be true. But would you say that he is constituting a Beis Din all by himself? Or you just say he's the smartest guy to go to?
Well, if I ask it if I stumble over him as a question, then I'd say yeah. But if he set up shop like he was a Beis Din.
But what I'm saying is, if the Torah already gives you a paradigm, a
right.
Beis Din, with three smuchim, right? And I want to ask you, what is now? And the Rabbanon want to institute something too. They want to make a takana, right? So they can say. Well, look, midoraisa you need three smuchin to constitute a Beis Din, but midrabanan will say three hejotos constitute that same Beis Din instead. Okay, is that different or the same as saying midoraisa you need three to make a Beis Din, but midrabanan one will make a Beis Din?
It's fundamentally different.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Right, so that's what I'm saying. When the Rabbanan come in and make the Takana, it seems like Rashi learns that they have to keep the basic structure and form of the Daraisa institution, which is a three for a Sanhedrin, for a Beis Din, but they can loosen the quality. Whereas the Rush holds, once they're not doing the Daraisa, they're starting from scratch. And when starting from scratch, there's no reason not to include the Yachid Mumcha equivalent to the three Hajotos.
So how come she seems to make the most sense?
Yeah. So why do they say that no one learns like Rashi? Because there are practical problems. There are other Gemaras that just don't work out with the way Rashi seems to be learning. Yeah, the idea makes sense, but yeah. Okay. So anyway, so that's the opening over here. So now the Gemara is like this. So that's the Braisa. We know as a fact that even though Dinei Mamonos is Bishlosha, a Mumcha L'Rabim is Don Afilu Yechidi. Omer of Nachman kigon ana don dine mamnes biyichidi. V'chein Omer Rav Chia kigon ana don dine mamnes biyichidi. So these two guys, Rav Nachman and Rav Chia, said, right, Amorayim here, we do it. We're done biyachidi with one. Yeah. We're done with one. Now the Gemara's question. Ibailu. What did they mean? What were they saying that they can be done as an individual? Kigon ono digamirna visavirna vinakitna rishus of a lo nokit rishusa dine lo din o dilma afogav de lo nokat rishusa dine dina. That's the chakira we have to work on here. So what does it mean? In other words, what were they saying about themselves when they said like me, right? Like me, I can judge alone.
Oh, that's what I thought they were saying. I would go to a one of a set of one.
No, they mean I could judge alone.
Okay.
Now, what was it about them that allowed them to judge alone? That's the question. So, is it the fact that they were gamirna visavirna? So, what does it mean gamir visavir? If anybody, maybe you remember in Harios, I think they had that, right? The gamir visavir. So, what does it mean gamirna? Rashi, gamirna shemuos vidinim me rabosai. So that means he knows the facts. He knows things. He has facts. He learned. He has a mesora of information, right? From us, it would mean the guy knows the Shulchan Aruch, right? Visavirna yodeya ani lahosif uliyashev taimim midaiti. Not only am I a gomir. Gomir means I learned, right? Gomar, I finished. You can finish factual knowledge, right? So that's like gomirna. I finished it. I completed it. I have it under my belt. Okay, but savirna, that's different. That means I can take the information I have, and I can be mosif and miyashev time in midaiti. I can think into it myself. I can say things maybe that I didn't hear from my rebbe. I can be creative and I can say, oh, you know, I learned all this shulchan aruch, but now I notice this simon seems to contradict this simon. What's going on over here? You know what I mean? So that's savirna. So gamirna v'savirna means he's like the Rav Haigon was saying. He knows the facts, and he has a good mind, and he can maneuver, right? Now the guy can know every single fact and not know and not really have any true knowledge, right? And you have to know the facts, and you have to know the method of the subject, the science of how it works, the underlying clulum of how things work. Okay, anyway. So is that the thing that allows them to be Don? Or is there an extra thing they need? That they took permission. What does it mean? That's right. Miresh Galusa. Dai nono dine mamnes biyachidi. Yeah. So what is this idea of taking Rishus? That's the question. So that was the question of you. Is it, why are they allowed to be Dan Yechidi? Is it simply because they know and they're experts in the law, or is that not enough? In order to be Dan Yechidi, you need something else. You have to have Rishus from the Reish Galusa. Who's the Reish Galusa?
The Exilarch.
The Exilarch.
That's the Dark Scroll.
He's effectively the Nasi in Galus.
He's like the Nasi in Galus.
Oh, like, was he Jewish?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
How's that different than
Smicha? Smicha's only from Moshe Rabbeinu through okay. He wasn't necessarily a big Chacham. He wasn't necessarily a big Tam Chacham.
The royal family, they were descendants of David.
So then what was he?
That's right. That's what we're getting to later. Right. He had authority. He was connected politically. I mean, he was, you know, in those days, what, the even in the Gullus, the Jews did have their own somewhat, they ran their own system of courts, you know. So he was the top guy. That was his, he was recognized as the top guy. We'll see, we're getting into
Jews or
by Jews. Goyim? Jews and Goyim. For the Jews, he was the authority.
So this is more of a method of systematizing.
Okay, let's get a little more facts. Let's get some more facts, okay? Did you get a chance to look at the Rush?
Started.
Okay. We have to be Gamirna over here. And this is important in putting together our basic knowledge of the area. So if you take a look at the rush, it's the second rush. What are we really talking about? That gets confusing in this subject, believe it or not. Okay, you see the rush. So first he goes through the two ways of learning, right? Either Erev Parshios, either Leis LeErev Parshios or Yesh LeErev Parshios, right? And then he goes through Mumchil Rabbim is, right? Gomer V'Savir. Oh, it's from Shri Rigon. I'm sorry. And then he goes like this. See where he says. No, it's like 10 lines down. He says, after the Ad Kan L'Shono, Don Afilu Yechidi. Right? He can be Don Yechidi. It's towards the end of the line. V'yochol lodun es ha'odam bal korcho. Okay, this is an issue that we haven't dealt with yet. That he can judge somebody bal korcho. What does that mean? By force.
Force him, yeah.
Drag him, schlep him into basement.
How far, where are we?
So that's really what we're asking about over here. See, we're not just asking about if you voluntarily go to somebody. Like, what does it mean? It's a din, it's not a din. So there are two questions that we have to always be mindful of in this sugya. What does it mean it's a din or it's not a din? Does it mean that it's just not in the running? It's like you ask you ask a child what he thinks, and you say, okay, well, there's no din over there, because the child just doesn't, it's not possible. Do we mean it's not a din, like it doesn't have the capacity to qualify as a din? Or does it mean that when he's dan yechidi, it means he can actually enforce his an authority of judgment, right? So the Rush says, this sugya is saying, when he says that the mumchel rabbim is dan afilu yechidi, it means he can do it bal korchach. He can force you to come to him for din. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Okay? Now we can understand the chakira a little bit. Now at least we understand the chakira a little bit better. So how would you put it?
Well, if you're going to be...
That gives him those... So let's frame the question better then. Right? What is it that gives the individual, the yochid, the, what do we call him, the mumchel rabbim, what is it that gives him what? Authority, right? A certain authority is what we're looking for. What is it that gives him the authority of judgment?
Not ability,
authority.
So
we can say like this. Is the authority come from the fact that he is a gavra of din? You understand? It comes from him, from his nature, from in the subject matter. Like if I would ask you, who is an authority in science? I'd say, well, the guy who knows the most. Who's an authority in medicine? The guy who knows the most, right? So that means to say that he stands at the pinnacle of the subject. So he is defined definitively as an individual. He is a gavra of that subject. So the authority basically stems from the subject itself. You understand? Who has the authority of din? The individual who is the gavra of din. What gives him the authority? Din itself gives him the authority. The fact that there is such a thing as justice, as mishpat, right? And he embodies it to the greatest degree. World renowned as the embodiment of justice, of mishpat, that itself, if you believe in mishpat, then automatically the fact that he's the mumchel rabbim gives him the authority. To deny his authority would be to deny mishpat. You understand? So do I say, you get it, Meir? It's a little bit of a...
You say it again?
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is that the authority comes from the subject, from the thing itself. In other words, what gives, that's the side of just the fact that he's Gamirna Visavirna.
Ability, yeah.
Right? In other words, who is the authority? It's like a natural idea of authority. Who has the authority in terms of the subject of Mishpat? the person who embodies mishpat to the highest degree. Now, if you just deny mishpat, then of course, to you, no one has authority. But to the degree that we all agree there's mishpat, right? Then you can't deny that his authority in mishpat, because he is the very highest level of mishpat that anyone can the person can approach.
So then, how could you ever have a case of three? I mean, why would you ever need three dayanim?
You would only need three dayanim, because if you go by the Torah's gzeiras hakasa, that says three dayanim. So if you have the system of once we're away, good point. No, is midoraisa. Let's learn like the way that three are required midoraisa. So midoraisa, the authority is given from the gzeiras hakasa, but we're out of the gzeiras hakasa. We midorabanan. We're out of the gzeiras hakasa. So now where does the authority come from? You understand? Once we remove the authority that's given, that's vested in, by the Torah, right? Where does the authority come from? So one possibility is it just comes in a natural way now. Like the greatest authority in any subject is the one who has the most knowledge, right? Okay. Or do we say no? The authority for mishpat has to come from the one who has political authority and control. Now it's like it's true din is based on mishpat, but ultimately it's still an official position. So it's true, midaraisa, you needed three smuchen. Midrabanan, we got rid of three smuchen, but it still requires an appointment. It still requires some sort of a institutionalized, it still is an institutional, it still is part of an institution. And in order to be institution, well, you shouldn't say that, it sounds bad, to be institutionalized. But in order to be part of, in order to be an institution of din, yeah, it has to come from the political authority. Now it would only be the Reish Gvusa. In other words, now that's the question. Now that we're no longer under the Xeris Akosov of three, Smuchin, where does the authority come from? Does it come from a natural thing, or does it require some appointment by the person who's in control of communal affairs? Is it an appointed position, or is it just naturally goes by the subject? We'll see. We'll develop this point a little bit further. But you have to understand that Reish Galusa had real power. He could throw you in jail. He could take away. He could do things. He wasn't just a figurehead. Because they let the Jews govern themselves, so he had that power. And like you said, the Gemara says it's institution midaraisa, basically. I mean, the Gemara says, we'll get to it a little next, the very next Gemara. The Gemara says the Reish Galusa even had more power than the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. He could force people in Eretz Yisrael to do things and people in Eretz Yisrael couldn't force him to do things. So it was, ultimately, all power comes down to people agreeing to give somebody power. Right? Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
Am I pulling the cover off of the? The first guy who had power. I mean, either he imposes it by force, right? Which is also a certain amount of everyone agreeing not to fight him, and just but it all people are just victims of their own. People, it's all convention. It's all just convention. There's no that's the problem with the Constitution of the United States. I mean, according to Torah, we have an idea that the Torah is divine. So we care about what the Torah says, and we try to do. That's the only authority that's objective, right? The authority of the Creator. But so we really are interested in knowing what the Torah says. But you have like a situation in America with the Constitution of the United States. Nobody really cares what 100 guys said in 1776. So we all have to sort of agree to just keep it? What's the sanctity of the Constitution? If we all woke up tomorrow and said we don't care about the Constitution, it wouldn't exist, right? So that's really the problem that they have. People don't really care about it. They want to just, but they can't say they don't, so they try to just say,
Amendments.
It means this, it means that. But anyway, but the point is, that all comes about from trying to make something seem real when we all know it's just an existence of our consent. And, that's like a little bit of the conflict of Constitution. But anyway, but the point is, the Reish Galusa was like Chaim said, Lachsweiser, he was just descendant of Beis David. He had a certain authority, and it was accepted. It was an accepted thing. Okay? The fact is, he had authority and power. So given that, he's the one who can make appointments. But the question is it still something that needs to be like an institution in the society? Then it would require him to make the appointment. Or is it just the natural authority of the subject itself? And therefore, if a person is Gomir Vesovir, he could force you to come before him in Din. Yeah. So he's like this. So the Rosh says, how do you know this is talking about Bal Karchach? He says, De'ibi de'kibluhu alayhu afilu shein mumchanami. Because if we're talking about where people just agree to accept somebody, you can accept even a non-mumcha. Right? In other words, when it says that the mumcha l'rabim is don yechidi, what does it mean? Does it mean he has the ability to be done, or does it mean he has the authority to be done? So he says, if it just means the ability to be done under any circumstances, then a guy doesn't have to be a mumcha l'rabim to have the ability to be done. I could take a non-mumcha, and you and I can say we have a dispute, but we agree that this guy shall settle it. That's allowable. So it can't mean that under certain in some circumstances he has the ability to render a judgment. Because anybody has the ability to render a judgment in some circumstances. The circumstance, namely, if we all agree to accept your opinion, then you'll be able to render a judgment for us. So when it says he's dan yechidi, it means he can be dan yechidi in a way that an eino mumcha can't. When that means bal korchach. Doesn't mean the same way that an eino mumcha can judge b'dekibluhu if you accept him. So it must mean the mumcha l'rabim can judge even if you don't accept him. Okay? Clear? Simple. But that raises the problem. Because the Mishnah says later, umikan, now here's a very, very important rule that the Rosh derives from this piece of Gemara, and we have to hold on to it, okay? Like hold on to it like it's an ikkar. You have to keep in mind all the time. You have to, like the Yerushalayim say, you have to nail it down with nails. Okay, got to secure it with nails. What is it? It's this. Mikan yesh lomod dekol shlosha hedyotos donen esak odom bal korcho kishein rotze lovo lebeistin. Tehagimol b'mokom yochad mumcha kaini. So this whole Gemara is making an equation between what and what? Between three hedyotos, which is what we've been talking about the whole time, and one mumcha. And now that the Rosh proved when it says the one mumcha is dan yechidi, it means bal karcho, that he can force you to come to him.
Meaning even if you...
Even if you don't want to.
Yeah. Meaning... that
forcing.
So
then it must mean that three hedyotos can also force you to come to Beis Din. Come to them.
But the yechidi needs approval, whereas...
But an eino mumcha yochid can only serve if he's enlisted. Okay,
meaning
so you
if you want to.
If you want him. Okay, so you have three things. But the main thing, the thing you got to remember all the time that the Rosh is saying is that the Gimel Hedyotos is equivalent, has halachic equivalent halachic validity to one mumcha. And if we see things by one, we can apply them to the other. So if we see that the yochid mumcha can be dan yechidi bal karcho, he can force you to come to him, then that means Gimel HaJotis can also do that. Yeah. Okay, but there's a problem he has. Like, listen to this problem. He says, "Vaha d'tanan." V'ha d'tanan. Zebor lo echad v'zebor lo echad. So that's the beginning of the Masechta of Zebor, the beginning of the parak Zebor. So what does it mean? Anybody know what that means? Zebor lo echad, zebor lo echad. I learned. Yeah, go ahead.
They each pick a judge,
right? I learned that once in practice. People were fighting about going to a basin. Yeah, they call it Zabla. I didn't know what they were talking about. Zabla. Let's do Zabla.
Right.
And so it means Zeh, Borer, Lo, Echad.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it says in the Mishnah that if someone wants to force you to go to Beis Din, you don't have to go. You can say, no, I'll pick a Dayan. You pick a Dayan. And they'll pick a Dayan. Right? So how could you tell me that one guy can force you to go to him, right, or that three can force you to go to them? The Mishnah has a whole way of that you have a right to choose who you want to go to. Otherwise, it would be crazy, right? One guy can just force you to come to him? I say, no, I want to go to the other guy. Three judges can just, well, no, you have to go to their Beis Din. There ought to be a law.
I think there is in terms of the law that all that.
I love it. Good. So let's take a look at it. So the Rush explains it like this. Hainu, he says, V'had nan zebor lo echad v'zebor lo echad, d'mashma mi daito in bal karcho lo. He can't do it. He can't force him. Hainu kishomer lo odun b'fneichem el b'fnei beis din acher. That's if the guy says, I don't want to come to you. I want to go to another beis din. The beis din comes and says, you come to us. He has a right to say, I don't want to go to you. With all due respect, I don't want to go to your Beis Din. I'll pick a Dayan, he'll pick a Dayan, and they'll pick a Dayan. Okay? That's fine. Aval imu omer she'ein rotze lovo imo ledin. But if he says, I won't go to Beis Din at all, oh, kishe omer halove she'eino rotze lodun imo be'iro. Or if the lova, that's the borrower, right? He says, "I don't want to go in your city. I want you to come to California. We'll do. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm happy to go to Beis Din to hear your claim against me. But let's go to the Beis Din in California. Right? Oh, $100 loan is going to cost you $400 to get back and forth. Oh well, sorry. Guess that's too bad for you, right? So in that kind of a situation." Dan in the Oso Balkarcha. Okay, so let's think about that. So what does it mean? Balkarcha now just got whittled down a little bit, right? According to his question, Balkarcha, he thought it meant they have absolute authority to force anybody to come to them at any time, right? Because they're the authority. Either because it's Gomer Vesavir or they have an appointment, they have a shush from the Resh Kluza. But in his answer, he says, no, that can't be because we know that you always have the right to choose a Beis Din if you want to. So what does it mean by Karcho? Only if you don't want to go to Beis Din at all. Or you give some crazy... So what's the Avinu Maskana in Baal Karcho? In other words, the Havamina was saying that they have an authority to enforce din per se. Okay? So if they see two people who require din, they have the authority as the gavra of din, either from the natural idea or the appointment, they have the authority to enforce din per se. Every particular din is under their jurisdiction. If they feel that this guy owes that guy money, they can say, you come to us because we must enforce this din. Okay? The maskana is saying they don't have an authority over din per se, over each individual din. But as the gavra of din, as the representative of din, they have the authority to ensure that din is being kept. You understand? Their authority is to the system of din, not to a particular din. So if a person says, I'm in the system already, I want to go to another beis din, they don't have the authority to say, no, I am in charge of this, of your din here. They're in charge of people insofar as they must partake of din, but they don't have the authority to enforce a specific din in a specific person, in a specific case. That was the Havmina. Havmina was, no, they embody din, and every single thing is under their jurisdiction. Every single thing that has the shame of din, in particular, is under their jurisdiction too. So if they feel this guy owes him $100, they have the right to say, we're going to be don your case. As opposed to saying, their din comes from the system, their authority comes from the system of din, and that's what their authority extends to. It only extends to the system of din itself. So if a guy's trying to escape the system, they can get him. But if he's in the system, and he just wants to go to another guy, they don't have a right.